find, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Last Thursday we stopped at verse number 23. We just took the first part of that, and we had a little bit of difference of opinion, as you know. At 3, 23, 24, and 25, starting with verse 23 together. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. By verse 23, he turned. Who turned? Who's the he refer back to? Lord Jesus. Turned and said unto Peter, He said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Now remember we talked about Peter, and what did we say? What were the differences of opinions of what we could call Peter? What are three or four different ones?
Christians cannot be demon-possessed before the cross or after the cross.
All right, Christians cannot be demon-possessed before the cross or after the cross. They can be influenced, but not possessed. And what were the various names that we called Peter?
Saved.
And some differed with us when they said saved, but
it's another name. Cephas.
So he was true name, but what are some of the... What is it?
I don't know.
He's a believer. What else are we?
Saint.
Christian.
Saint. When you say Christian, some creed, some disagree. What else?
Oh, we don't know what to say.
Disciple. Disciple of Christ. All right. So these are different names. Yes, Bill.
Doesn't this also, at least from our point of view, point to the fact that we have two natures?
Yes.
We have our old nature, our sin nature, mm-hmm. which is what Satan is, and that's where that's how he can influence us in our sinful ways. We inherited you know, our old nature that is of Satan, who was our father.
Former father, that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the new nature. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was rebuking the old nature of Peter, at least from our point of view. Mm-hmm. Now, in his time, I don't know if he had two natures, because the Lord hadn't died on the cross yet. So, but that's a subject I'm not even going to touch on now. But just from my own point of view, that's the way I look at it.
What did the Lord say to the disciples? Holy Spirit is with you, and shall be what?
In you.
And when the day of Pentecost came, he was in them, but he was with them at least. And also, Bill, you mentioned about the two natures. What very famous Bible teacher that's heard all over the world, has written a big commentary on the whole Bible, denies that Christians have two natures?
That man from Master's College out in California.
That's right. What is his name?
John MacArthur.
Yes.
That's right. If you have just the one nature, then how's that one nature going to get to heaven unless it's perfect? See, of course, he mixes a little bit of perfection and so on. Really be sure of salvation. But you're right, Bill, we have the true nature.
If he is denying the fact that we keep our old nature until we go to be with the Lord, then he must be so busy doing things that he does not even hear his own thoughts.
Could be. See, because if you have just the one nature, then that one nature has to be perfect, totally dedicated.
Yeah,
in order to, so
that's just it.
There's a lot of bit of social type of gospel in there. It says, what is the name of that? Was it?
It seems sort of Calvinistic, like a
five-point
Calvinist.
That's right. Yes, that's what Calvinism saying. You have to be elect and they have to be perfect, and you don't really know whether you're saved until you die. And some of the rest of you have some thoughts on that. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Get them?
What's the point if you don't know you're saved until you die?
Exactly. It's a terrible thing, see? What is the name of that thing that he said?
Lordship salvation.
Thank you, man. See, he believes in lordship salvation. Yeah. We reverse it. We believe in salvation first, then you should have the Lord Jesus as your Lord. Mm-hmm. Salvation, then lordship. But lordship, salvation, what does it mean by that?
You accept Christ as Lord And so you it basically becomes a gospel of works.
All right, because you have to have Jesus as Lord before you need to be saved. See? And then, and
to continue on with Tammy's saying, so before you get to the point, you have to, in your own sin, your own strength, in your own flesh, you have to clean your life up first.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, you have a consecration to God, to the Lord, prior to salvation.
And can an unsaved, lost, hell-bound sinner make Christ Lord? See, that's a great question I have on Lordship of Bill.
This seems to be a subject area which is very confusing for people. It's very difficult, and it throws some people off. We had a gentleman here in this church who was attending here for quite a while, and mm-hmm. he was a believer in Lordship salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He followed some pastors who were very passionate in their preaching,
mm-hmm.
but also preached that you don't sin anymore once you become saved.
Sinless perfection.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that confused him. And he stopped coming here for a while, mm-hmm. and then he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has left again.
And he told me he thinks he's lost. Told me he doesn't know sure that he's even saved.
That's the danger of this Lordship salvation. He doesn't come to terms with the fact that, you know, his own sinful nature is not going to be done away with just mm-hmm. because he accepts the Lord as Savior.
Right.
That is reserved. We will purge our sins once we receive our resurrected bodies.
Mm-hmm. Tammy? Sure, and then Dan, go ahead.
Well, I just remember reading something that John MacArthur wrote about that, or was someone that was writing about some what John MacArthur believed,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was something that he had on the rack, but it was, you know, something I read a couple of years ago, and I still kind of remember it because it really, you know, shed a lot of light on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but I can look for it.
Yes.
It was very, I thought it was pretty helpful.
Look for it, that's good then.
So there's no eternal security in a certain sense.
That's right.
It's like you have the extreme Calvinists have no eternal security. Perhaps extreme is not the best word to use, but then you have other limit, you have the Arminians, who still don't have eternal security,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately it's ultimately based on works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both. I mean, when you have no eternal security, whether you lean or one leans Arminian or one leans Calvinistic, then it's always based on what they do and works,
mm-hmm.
Works based rather than faith based.
The Calvinists, TULIP, the tulip. The P stands for what?
Perseverance.
Those of us who are not five-point Calvinists, but if we don't have a P in there, we would say, once saved, always saved, preserved forever. But they don't interpret it that way. Preservation of the saints, in other words, the saints should preserve themselves, rather than not sure they're going to be preserved. See, there's a lot of different writing that interpret that P as a different type of way that we interpret
It's perseverance.
Perseverance of the saints. That's right. And so we have to persevere, otherwise be careful.
Right.
So,
but not preservation.
That was it?
It should be preservation.
It should be preservation of the saints. One saint, but it's perseverance instead of preservation. So these are something. Now, why did the Lord Jesus say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to Peter? How did Peter deserve that?
He was disagreeing with Christ's prophetic statement.
Okay, how did he disagree? What did the Lord Jesus say, and how did Peter disagree with him?
That he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day.
Four things, that's right. And how did Peter phrase it?
Be far from me.
What else did he say?
He also
denied twice. He just, and so the Lord apparently
he was rebuking Jesus for such a. How could you say such?
Yes,
thing?
Because how could this happen to you? It's not going to happen to you. You're going to just be alive, and nobody's going to touch you. You're not going to go to Jerusalem. You won't be crucified, and you won't be mocked, and you won't be raised again the third day. So all these things. So Satan wanted Peter. He was a. He was. A, guiding Peter, wasn't he? He was being used, and he was influencing Peter. And did Satan perhaps influence Peter in other ways? In what ways did he also use him? Yes?
We know that the Lord Jesus Christ had said that Satan has requested to sift you, to Peter, to sift you as wheat.
Yes.
But I pray that your faith fail not.
Yes. Well, that converted, strengthen that brother. In the book of Luke, that's right, yeah, Bill.
It seems that Peter had forgotten that the Lord cannot make a mistake.
That's right.
If he says that something is going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yes.
It's not open to debate.
What attribute of deity is that called? What attribute of deity is that called?
He knows omniscient.
Omniscience, absolutely. And it's going to happen, it will happen. So Peter also, after the resurrection, what did he do? When he was first called, what did the Lord Jesus say to him? Follow me.
I will make you
fishers of men. What did he say after the resurrection to three or four or five other disciples?
I go fishing.
No, it was follow me. I go back to fishing. So Peter was in trouble enough. And what else? Even at the crucifixion, what was another problem Peter had?
He denied knowing.
Denied. How many times?
Three
different times. See, and the Lord looked at him and Peter wept and wow. So Satan was influencing the Apostle Peter, that the Roman Catholic Church says is the foundation of the church. We don't believe that at all, but he was an apostle and he wrote a couple of books, and he, in the book of Acts, he preached the word and God used him and God straightened him out. Praise God for that. He could straighten any of us out, even though we may falter and fail at certain times. He's able to straighten us out. So the next part of verse 23, the last part where we start this evening, we're almost finished, but we'll start right there. What does he say about Peter? How does he describe the result of Peter's denial?
Thou art an offense.
An offense unto me. What is an offense? Oh, Anna, go ahead.
He's not talking about Peter. He's talking about Satan. Thou is referring to Satan.
Well, it's possible. But he's also, as they're talking to Peter, he turned and said unto Peter. See? So maybe both of them. It could be
nature.
It could be the old nature. It could be that part of Peter that was being used and being followed by Satan. Could be either, Anna. But he said to Peter, and he talked to Satan, and so it's sort of a dual offense. What does an offense mean? Thou art an offense to me. Is that good or bad? Is that a compliment?
No.
No, it's not. What does it mean if you're an offense to somebody?
Well, it's
stumbling.
It has to do with offending.
What was it?
Stumbling block.
Stumbling block,
It has to do with offending.
Offending, all right. Does God want us to be an offense unto Him?
No.
No, He doesn't. So, if thou art an offense unto whom?
Jesus.
Unto me, the Lord Jesus. For thou savorest not. What does savorest mean?
No, it's not.
Is it no?
Doesn't love. It's like a. That's the idea of a taste, or
a taste that you don't really appreciate, don't love, and don't know that want me to do things. Savors not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What are the things savor means? To taste and to appreciate, just like you taste and love food. See, savor. What does it mean to not savor the things that be of God, but the things that be of men? What does that mean?
He wasn't thinking heavenly. He wasn't thinking. He was just thinking earthly.
What? Was God involved in the crucifixion of our Savior?
Yes,
He was. That was the purpose. First coming, wasn't it? Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. And so it says in the prayer of the Lord Jesus to the Father in Hebrews chapter 10, prepares the table. Now prepares the body. A body has not prepared me. And I come to do thy will. A body has not prepared me. And he did prepare him to do thy will, to suffer for the sins of the Lord. Be of God, but be of those that be of men. Now, what does it mean to love and savor and appreciate the things that be of men? What does that mean, things of men? What does that refer to?
The
Worldly things, all right, things.
The way man thinks. Not the way God thinks.
That's right.
Man's ways are different than God's ways.
All right along and that way. And so he rebuked him, and then in verse 24, who did the Lord Jesus talk to now? Yeah, Anne-Marie.
It makes me think in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Isaiah 53. Very good.
Isaiah 55, that's right, verse 8.
Verse 8. All right, that's good. Question, yeah, go ahead.
And then verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Those are good verses. Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, say hello, have a question or comment, or just say, read us. Yeah, Emery?
When you said Isaiah 53, and that's what I was thinking of in last week, I think said it also, when you were saying about God the Father, again, it was in Scripture, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Yes, and the Father's work in the Calvary was mentioned in John 3:16. Let's say John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I gave from heaven to earth, gave at the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of the world. The Father gave the Son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Anna? Okay. All right, that's fine. So, the things to be a man. Then in verse 24, he said to his disciples, not just to Peter, all his disciples. Apparently, what does that indicate about who was there with Peter at this time?
Sounds like everyone.
Probably the disciples were right there, see? Did they hear him deny the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they did. And
deny
he was saying the truth, I guess I should say, or to say that the Lord Jesus was
contradicting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in verse 22 it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. So when it says that he took him, is it possible that means that he took him aside?
Could be.
Could be
taken aside. But the disciples, if they were there, they heard all of this, and so the Lord had to talk to all of his disciples. At this time, how many were his disciples? If we mean apostles, and maybe others, but if these were the same as the apostles, how many were there?
We don't know how many were there.
They're 12. They're apostles. If they're disciples, in addition to those, we're not sure.
Do we know from above whether they were all there?
Well, to his disciples, we would first assume that sometimes apostles and disciples are equal. Sometimes disciples means over and above the apostles. We're not always sure of the context. Henry?
It makes me think, too, that reading in earlier in Matthew, as we've gone through, when the disciples were there with Jesus Christ and Simon Peter, and when Jesus asked them, whom say ye that I am? Mm-hmm. And they would have heard Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. And then so soon after say, no, this isn't going to happen.
That's true. It's very soon. That was in 16, was it not?
Yes.
The same chapter.
That's right.
So talked to his disciples, and he wanted to teach the disciples, including Peter. Peter wasn't left out, was he? Peter was one of the disciples. And he says, if any man will come after me, will, not this future, but what do you think that will means?
Desires
to come after. What does it mean to come after him?
Follow him.
What was the invitation when he was first called?
Follow me to make you become
fishers of men. And so if anyone will come after me, follow closely. What is the requirements? Three things. First is what?
Deny himself.
What does that mean? Deny himself.
I don't know. Deny his own fleshly desires and wishes. And
wishes?
Not necessarily sinful, but the Lord has to be the first priority.
First priority. Not that we deny that we're people. We don't just say I'm a zero-zero, but self in the sense of priority, in the sense of what we want to do instead of what God wants, deny himself. That's the first thing. What's the second thing in this verse number 24?
Take up his cross.
Take up his cross. What does that mean? Has the Lord Jesus died on the cross yet?
No.
What does this mean in his day? Take up his cross.
That was death.
The burden?
The burden, that's right. The cross meant death. Just any old death?
Well, for anybody to take up his cross would be death. His own death.
Yes.
Dead to self, I guess.
All right. But the literal cross was not just simply death, but a very painful, excruciating, shameful death. Shameful and very difficult, very painful death. But take up his cross in this sense, what do you think he meant there?
Dying to self, I suppose.
Dying to self, probably. What else?
I don't know.
Does it mean to have a nice, lily, white, easy road for Christian faith?
No.
Taking the cross, first of all, it's heavy. Who bore the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Simon.
Of Cyrene. And so it was heavy. Now, I'm sure he could have done it himself.
Does it mean a literal cross here?
Well, no, probably a figurative type of thing. But to bear a cross physically, it was heavy. And someone else, it was a very strong person to do that. And when the Lord, they beat him, I'm sure he could have done it, but they had Simon of Cyrene. But to take up his cross, Bill.
I don't think there are very many of us who would be able to endure that kind of pain that the Lord went through.
Right.
I don't think he wants us to. I think he bore that pain in our stead, in place of us. And it was a demonstration for us. Now, we will go through life with persecutions. We will be criticized. We may have difficult times. We're not going to become wealthy like some TV evangelists do. We may be very poor in our life, but we walk in the Spirit. That, in a sense, is our part, I think, in picking up our cross.
What is the opposite of taking up his cross?
Going your own way.
Your own way and just rejecting the cross. Is the cross pleasant or unpleasant?
Well, the cross...
pleasant or unpleasant?
There are unpleasant times.
All right.
However, I think for the most part, life becomes far more pleasant than a person could possibly know without it.
But the taking it up means to assume the penalties, the sufferings, all the things that go with that cross.
You do it no matter what.
No matter what. So the three things, deny himself, take up his cross. What's the third thing? Yes, Dan Reed.
Okay. Looking from our point of view, back at the cross and in Galatians 2:22, I am crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, which makes me think that I know we'll be looking into Hebrews chapter 12 on Sunday, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand on the throne of God, of the throne of God.
Yes.
And so we also have to face the shame, be willing.
Be willing
at all
to take
costs.
The shame. Whatever shame it may be, Yvonne?
Some people teach that we all have a cross to bear. You know, like if you have an affliction, or if you have children that are sick, or if you have various things. So maybe, you know, there's that saying, no cross, no crown. I don't know if any of this is true.
There's a gospel song, is there not? Gladly the cross I bear. Remember, there's something like, gladly the cross I'll bear.
Take up that cross and follow me.
And one little girl heard the preacher preach on that sermon. Remember? Gladly the cross. And she was asked, what did the preacher preach on? And the little girl said, gladly, the cross I'd bear. Spoke on gladly the cross I'd bear. Anyway, but we've got to bear whatever comes our way.
But
if it's in bed.
I
I'm not sure that's what this means, but a lot of people say, you know, she has a cross. She really has a cross to bear. I'm not sure.
Well, that means penalty, difficult, hard circumstances.
I don't know whether that means that here, so trial. I'm not sure we know what this means, take up his cross.
Well, whatever.
And the hand will come out and take up his cross.
What's the third thing that he tells us? Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Now, when following him, how do we find out where he wants to lead us?
The scriptures.
The scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. That's the only way that we can follow.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
Don't know anything.
We can pray, we can ask the Lord to lead us and guide us by the Holy Spirit of God indwelling the saved person, but by the scriptures. Does that mean we should never pick up our Bible?
No.
No.
That's how we follow him.
You follow him by knowing the scriptures. Old Testament that speaks of him, New Testament also. Yvonne?
What do you think it means, take up his cross? Like if any man will deny himself and take up his cross, follow me.
I think it means take up anything that's called difficult, anything that is part that self doesn't want to take up, anything that's contrary to every one of our wishes for Christ. I think it's the cross of Christ. I think it's for him not just to be like the monks that go on their knees up the steps and flagellate themselves and beat themselves as if that's going to make them more holy. But we do it as under Christ. Anything that, whether it's difficult or smooth, we take it up and follow him. Bill?
I think what the Lord was asking for in this also was the apostles and to take the message to the lost sheep of Israel. And yeah. That is taking up a cross, because yes. You're taking the message to them and you're facing difficulties as you're going about that. Business, there might be persecutions, ridicule, all kinds of difficulties, but you do it gladly because the Lord told you to do it.
Mm-hmm. When somebody sees people on the cross, are they glad to see them, or are they ashamed of them? Are they sort of wincing at them? What is their reaction to that?
It's not nice to see them.
Like their head? Not very nice at all. So take up the cross and follow me. Did the Lord Jesus know that he was one day going to be on the cross?
Yes,
he did.
He
mentioned he was going to be crucified. He said, now what does it say? Go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, and be killed. Doesn't specify, but he knew that it was going to be the cross. It's going to be the cross. And the third day rise again. So those three things. Take up the cross. Yes, Henry?
Is that like the preaching of the cross, which is the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension?
Yes, that's preaching the cross. That's why take up the cross and preach
but
the cross.
The
preaching the cross is a foolishness, but unto us we're saved the power of God. Anna, and then Tammy?
You can go first.
Oh, Tammy?
When we were talking about cross, I thought of Galatians, because it talks about burden. Mm-hmm. And a couple times. And
bear one another's burdens?
That's in verse 2. Mm-hmm. But then in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. So it's mm-hmm. interesting that he would use cross, because he's talked about death, and now he's specifying exactly what type of death his burden is going to be, his mm-hmm. cross.
Yeah. I mean,
and we'll right. all have some sort of burden.
Right.
At least according to Galatians 6:5.
6:5. Yes, Anna?
Pastor, sending warm greetings to you and to our BFT church family. Praying for your meetings next week. May the Lord keep you and Mrs. Wade safe as you travel. Also keeping Mr. Carroll, Tammy, Bill, and Betty in our thoughts and prayers. God bless you all. In his love, Carl and Vicki.
Carl Vicki Alvarez, North and Webb in Maine. Thank you, Carl Vicki. We'll wave to them. Thanks a lot very much for that good message from them. Internet. I'm going to stop right here, but I think other comments or questions. Yes, Anne Marie.
It also makes me think in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and on, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden.
That's similar. Take up your yoke. Cross, yoke. You know, maybe yoke isn't quite as extreme as a cross, but take it up. Follow me. Any other comments on that verse before we...
Here's two people together.
Two people together.
Rush, that's right. By yourself.
That's right. Take up
your burden. Because you're giving your burden to Christ, and you're he's sharing it with you. I mean, so you're walking through it together.
Yes.
As opposed to just taking it yourself.
That's right. Cast that burden upon the Lord, and
He shall sustain
you. So, other items or comments that we should remember on these verses before we close tonight. I pray for Dan next Sunday, and also next Thursday. Be there two different times, in Hebrews on Sunday, and here in Matthew chapter 16 on next Thursday. Prayer meeting. So, all right, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank and praise Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for Peter's willingness one day to admit that he was wrong in denial of our Savior. We will thank Thee, Lord, that he said to the Lord, "Lovest Thou me more than these? Thou knowest that I love Thee." And he was told to feed his sheep, feed his lambs, and take care of them. And we thank Thee, Lord, that he repented of that sin of denying the words of our Savior, almost calling him a liar, saying that this was not going to happen to him. And so, Lord, even if we sometimes fail Thee, help us to be sustained by an unfaltering trust in our Savior, by Thy Holy Spirit. Guide us and direct us, bring us back safely on the Lord's Day. May the preaching of the Word of God on the Lord's Day be powerful and be helpful and may be profitable and uplifting to preacher and people alike. We pray in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. All right, well, thank you for coming.